Ramsey TV.
Are you sure you want to be an overcomer? I'm just asking. I mean, it sounds great. Everybody says you need to be an overcomer. Thomas Kissinger, Stephen E. Jones, overcomer. But there's one problem, just one little problem. Pardon me for pointing this out. I know I'm a killjoy. I'm the guy who's no fun at the party. But let me tell you this. If you're overcoming, it means you're in the tribulation. That's right. You see, good news, bad news. The good news is I'm overcoming. The bad news is, oopsie, I'm going through the tribulation. Because overcoming is mentioned only in the book of Revelation. That is the overcoming these guys are talking about. That word actually is the Greek word Nike. It's based on the Greek word Nike for victory. Concordant translates it conquering, King James overcoming. But what these guys are talking about is a kingdom thing where he who overcomes will eat of the tree of life. If you don't, you get cold oatmeal. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. Welcome. This is part 12. I'm determined to make this the last part of this series. The gospel quote that is already destroyed. It's part 12, a beautiful Israel number. I'm doing this in deference to my friends, Thomas Kissinger and Stephen E. Jones. See, I can be Israelite-y. I'll stop on show number 12. Let's dive right into this because I got a lot to do if I'm going to finish this tonight. So I'm going to go to three places in the book of Revelation where the term overcomer appears. In the King James Version, it says overcomer. In the Concordance, says conquering, he who conquers. The first verse, I'm going to go play the rest of the clip. I promise you that I'm going to play the rest of Kissinger's clip, and you're going to be shocked by what he says at the end, okay? And I'm going to leave you on a low note, so you can't wait for me to make sense again for a living tomorrow and not have to comment on this anathema non-gospel. Revelation 2, verse 7, the first occurrence in the book of the unveiling. Who has an ear? Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the ecclesias, to the one who is overcoming. To him will I be granting to be eating of the log of life. The Concordant has log instead of tree. There's a reason for that. It's the right translation. Don't want to get distracted about that. Which is in the center of the paradise of God. This is on the new earth. So to him who is overcoming, this is a law thing. Because it's do this and I'll do this for you. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. If you don't do this, then I won't do this for you. This could be worded to the one who is not overcoming. Will I not give to eat of the tree of life or the log of life? No, you will be eating cold oatmeal, not in the center of the paradise of God, but in the cafeteria of the lake of fire. Yes, the cafeteria of the lake of fire where they serve cold oatmeal. You may say, how could there possibly be cold oatmeal in the lake of fire? Aha, that is the miracle, my friends. God spares no expense, no power, making sure the oatmeal stays cold. Even in the lake of fire. So you better overcome or else. Second reference, Revelation 2 and verse 26. And to the one who is overcoming and keeping my acts. That is WWJD. What would Jesus do? You better know what Jesus would do or, well, let's see what happens. To the one who is overcoming and keeping my acts until the consummation. You have to keep keeping his acts until the consummation of that tribulation period. To him will I be giving authority over the nations. Where's that? On the earth. And he shall be shepherding them with an iron club. Does that sound like fun? You want to wield an iron club on the earth and shepherd the nations? Is this for you? Is this your sacred quest? Well, this showcase can be yours if you overcome. He shall be shepherding them with the iron club as vessels of pottery are being crushed, as I also have obtained from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. I don't know what the morning star is, but if one is available, I would want to have it, but you won't get it unless you overcome. Revelation 3, verse 21. The one who is overcoming, to him will I be granting to be seated with me on my throne as I. Now, don't want to get into a sidetrack here, but Jesus Christ has two thrones. Jesus Christ on earth, Christ Jesus in heaven. Two thrones belonging to the two gospels, one on earth, one in the heaven. The throne being spoken of here is the throne that is on the earth. He is king and priest in the millennial earth. And I will, okay, let's start that verse again. The one who is conquering, to him will I be granting to be seated with me on my throne, as I also conquer and am seated with my Father in his throne. So all of these, they sound great, but do you notice that if you're overcoming, you're going through the tribulation? We know that as for us, members of the body of Christ, we are not appointed to indignation. We are not going to go through the tribulation. We are snatched away before the tribulation because we are ambassadors of peace. And before God declares war on the earth, we are going to be extricated from the present wicked eon, as our apostle says. Now, do you want to know what's better than overcoming? This is so, I'm waiting for 12 shows to tell you this. Because they're all about overcoming, overcoming, overcoming. You know, I haven't even played the clip. Okay, I haven't even played the clip. So let's go ahead. It's a little late to play the clip, but I've already explained it. So let's hear, just so you know, I'm not taking this out of nowhere. Let's hear Thomas Kissinger speak on overcoming. Go, Tommy.
We are becoming one with God and in agreement with Him, and becoming the body of Christ through this sanctification process. This is part of becoming an overcomer.
There it is. See, this is part of being an overcomer. And he says it again at the end, but I'm not there yet, am I? You want something better than overcoming?
Harold Martin says it's something better than overcoming. It's impossible.
Oh, yeah, you think so? Wait to hear this. I've been dying to tell you this. Romans 8, starting with verse 33. Who will be indicting God's chosen ones? God the justifier? Oh, wait till you hear the end of that clip. Because if you're justified, you cannot be indicted. You cannot be brought into court. You can't be accused of any wrongdoing. And yet at the end of his clip, I'm going to save it. Wait, just wait for it. Wait for it. Who will be indicting God's chosen ones? God, the justifier? It's a rhetorical question. It's like, the one justifying you? That's the only one who has power to indict you. And there's no way he's going to indict you because he's your justifier. Who is the condemner? Christ Jesus, the one dying, rather being roused, who is also at God's right hand, who is pleading also for our sakes? The only one with the power to condemn you is the one who is at the right hand of God, whose body you are a part of. So how could he possibly condemn you? He can't. And then this, you're very familiar with this, verse 35, Romans 8. What shall be separating us? I can't, it's coming. It's coming. Wait for this, you're going to love it. What shall be separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? What shall be separating us? Affliction? Distress? Persecution? Famine, nakedness, danger, sword, according as it is written, that on thy account we are being put to death the whole day. Feels like it, doesn't it? Hang on. We are reckoned as sheep for slaughter. What's the answer? Sanctification process? More prayer? Overcoming? No, here's the answer. Paul says, in all these things, we are more than overcoming through him who loves us. Same word, nikeo, root word Nike, overcoming, victory. The one, the thing that they're looking for in the book of Revelation, overcoming. If you overcome, I'll give you to eat of the tree of life. If you don't, you won't. If you overcome, you'll be seated with me on the throne. If you don't, you won't. What could be better than that? How about this? Hooper nikeo, that's the word in the Greek. It means above overcoming. There's something more than overcoming. And what is it? Paul says that in these things, that is, in the affliction, in the distress, in the persecution, in the famine, nakedness, danger, and sword, in spite of being put to death the whole day, we are in these things, we are more than conquering through him who loves us. We're about love. They're about performance. We're about grace. They're about law. They're about overcoming. We're about super overcoming. Hoopo overcoming. Over overcoming. Super conquering. I'm telling you, it's the same word in Revelation, but the prefix hooper is added, which means above and beyond. Translated in the Concordant Version, more than conquering. What do we have to do for that? Nothing. It's done through Him who loves us and saves us with a holy calling, not in accord with our acts, 2 Timothy 1:9. Screw their overcoming. I'm sorry, shouldn't say that, because I respect the circumcision call, but it ain't for me, it ain't for you. Remember I joked about having a t-shirt that says, I'm an overcomer. Well, you might as well have a picture of a guy with armor and a sword or one of the crusaders on horseback, like off to war, because if you're an overcomer, you're off to war, and you have to endure. He who endures to the end will be saved. How does that sound? Sounds like fun? Sounds like fun to some people. How about this? I'm a super overcomer. A super overcomer. And you're saying it while you're sitting on the sofa. How is that guy super overcomer? He's not doing anything. I'm not saying we should just sit on the sofa, but you could. I'm saying, okay, yes, I am saying you're sitting on the sofa. I am saying that. You're sitting on the sofa and you have a t-shirt that says, I'm a super overcomer. How could it be? You're not doing anything like this. In all these things, we are more than conquering, more than overcoming. Same word used in Revelation, only hooper, the Greek prefix, which means over and above, added in front of it. We are more than conquering through Him who loves us. By what right do you sit on the sofa and claim to be a super overcomer? Through Jesus Christ who loves me. Yeah, that's how I do it. But actually, this news, when you absorb it, it energizes you. You see why I've been waiting all 12 episodes to tell you this. This overcomer business. What could be better? This. Take people to Romans 8:33 through 8:38. More than overcoming. All right. I could luxuriate over that all day, but I want to play. I want to get past this. This is part of becoming an overcomer. Becoming an overcomer. There's the ING thing again. They're becoming. They're always on their way. The circumcision people, the Israel people, they're ever on their way. They're becoming what they call members of the body of Christ, but they're not members of the body of Christ. Kissinger and Jones, they're not members of the body of Christ. I'm sorry. I said yesterday I wasn't going to make a judgment, but I'm going to make one now because they don't grasp that the grace of God is what makes us righteous. It seems like they do because the language is very tricky. For instance, in one place, I don't know if I played this, but in one place, Thomas Kissinger says that we want to become what God says we are. In other words, he mentions justification by faith, and he says that God says we're that, but now we're becoming what God says we are.
And we become what we have been declared to be through justification by faith.
But if he really believed that we were what God said we were, that is justified, that is considered to be righteous by God, that he would not say what he says at the end of this tape, which I'm getting to. I'm going to prove that to you now, because here it is. I'm finally going to bring it out to you. In this clip, listen to him say that the people he's considering, which are members of his audience, they have just experienced justification by faith. Okay? He's talking about people who have been justified by faith. But I want you to listen. What happens to them next if they do not embark, after being justified by faith, being given the righteousness of God, if they do not then embark on what they call the sanctification process?
And this is why many will stand before the Lord one day, and they have experienced justification by faith, but Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you."
Did you hear that? Taking from Matthew chapter 7, Jesus saying to a vast swath of people who think they know him, but they don't. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. I never knew you. According to Thomas Kissinger, who's getting his doctrine from Stephen Jones, people who are justified, this proof that he either doesn't know what it means to be justified by faith, or when he says, well, yes, God states that we're justified by faith, but it's still not finished. So either he knows what it is, and he believes it's not yet finished, and you have to perfect it, the classic Galatian lie, by this process of justification, or else you're going to hear these awful words, depart from me, workers of lawlessness. How can he say that if he understands that justification is being declared righteous? Justification is being declared righteous. There's no chance in hell or anywhere else that you could be, that the Lord would say to you, depart from me, workers of lawlessness, to people that he himself justified. We just read in Romans 8. See, they're trying to mix this up. This is why it's so damning and dangerous. We just learned in Romans 8, who is indicting God's chosen ones? Christ a justifier? Christ a justifier? And yet this guy's telling us that the potential is there. Christ will condemn people who are justified. Listen to it again. Listen to it again.
And this is why many will stand before the Lord one day, and they have experienced justification by faith, but Jesus will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you.
Christ will condemn and disown people who are justified by faith. He will still accuse them. He will still judge them if they do not follow this prescribed, made up, invented process of sanctification. You can see what happens now. This is why Paul pronounced the anathema on this. This is why Paul said, this is devoted to destruction. This teaching is devoted to destruction. Jesus did not know them as far as the sanctification process goes. Jesus didn't know them because they didn't go on to the next level. They don't think that justification by faith is complete, or they don't know what it is. And I'm not sure which it is. I'm not sure if they don't know what it is, or if they know what it is and they think it's incomplete. I have to think they don't know what it is. Because the argument, and I've heard this argument, and this is the argument. Well, yes, we're definitely justified by faith, and we're saved, and we're given the righteousness of God. But you will see good behavior after that. Good behavior will follow that. And I can go along with that as long as someone agrees that the justification by faith seals you. It seals you. That whether you have works or not, faith stands alone. According to Paul, faith stands alone. Of course, James, faith without works is dead. Paul, faith stands alone. And so, earlier in this clip, Kissinger said that we're becoming what God says we are. See, I can go with that as it stands. We're becoming what God says we are. I can go with that. But he doesn't mean it because of what you just heard. Because if God says we're justified by faith, then there's no way Jesus Christ could say to us, depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Now listen to what he says next.
What that means is that Jesus did not know them, and they did not know Jesus as far as the sanctification process. They're still lawless. A worker of iniquity is someone who is lawless.
See, they're still lawless. A worker of iniquity is someone who's lawless. What are they reverting to? The law. What do you mean lawless? They talk about the law of Moses. You're lawless. You're without the law. This is the accusation they have against Paul. Paul's without the law. That's not safe to travel without the law. Yes, we're saved by grace, but also by law. This is the mixed message, and it's doomed. It's anathema. It's destroyed. As it leaves this guy's mouth, Kissinger's mouth, it's destroyed. It's horrible. What do you think about that when you hear, I'm justified by faith, but I can still be in danger of hearing Christ say to me, depart from me, workers of lawlessness. That's a whole new, that's when Christ returns to the earth to judge the nations, and there's a whole group of apostate religious people to them, he's going to say, depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Because they're going to say, didn't we do this in your name? And this, do that in your name, wonderful works in your name, depart from me, I never knew you. Yet Paul says there's no way Christ could say, I never knew you. Or there's no way he could accuse you or blame you of anything when he himself died on the cross so that you could have the righteousness of God because he took your sins on him. This is hideous teaching. That's why Paul destroys it. And so I'm destroying it. It's still going out in 2020. It's hard to believe. Okay, end of the clip. Go.
They did not submit to the sanctification process to become an overcomer and to learn how to be obedient.
Oh, my God. He put everything in right at the end. Everything, every sicko addition to the pure transcendent grace of God, he throws it in at the end, and I want to vomit. And God vomits this out. They did not submit. Oh, they did. How could Jesus Christ possibly say to the same people that he justified by dying on the cross and taking away their sins, how could he say to them after that, after declaring them righteous, how could he say, depart from me, workers of lawlessness, I never knew you? Because they did not submit to the sanctification process. He gives up the game right there. He gives up the game right there. Don't give me any more, Kissinger. Don't give me any more of this crap. Well, we just become what Christ says we are. No, you don't believe that we are what he said we are. Because you're telling me that unless we go to the next step, it's not like the next step is nice. It's like, yeah, you should produce fruit. No, they're saying if you don't produce the fruit, if you don't embark on this sanctification process, then we don't give a damn if you've been justified by Christ. We don't give a damn if God himself declared you righteous through the blood of the cross. You are still in danger of hearing your Lord and Savior say to you, depart from me, worker of lawlessness, I never knew you. And then to tie it up in a nice, neat package, he says, they did not submit to the sanctification process to become an overcomer and to learn to be obedient. There it is. The trifecta of BS. Sanctification process, overcomer, and obedient. I'm not saying it's BS. Generally, I'm saying that when added, when attempting to mix these elements into the transcendent grace of God, into being declared righteous by God through the blood of Christ, it's repugnant. Obedience isn't repugnant. Sanctification isn't repugnant. Being an overcomer isn't repugnant. It becomes that when it is injected unlawfully. Talk about doing something unlawful. You want to talk about unlawful? It's injecting these things that belong to Israel, that belong to another time, to another place, to another people, to another evangel. And injecting it into the pure message of the body of Christ. It's illegal. We're not having it. I certainly haven't had it. You're not having it. It's done. It's blown up. It's destroyed. Turn away from it. It's poison. It's anathema. Don't get hit by the shrapnel.